Turn your Bibles again to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We've talked about that the Bible is the Word of God, that the Bible is the final authority. Tonight we're going to talk about that the Bible is the Word of life. And we're looking at Psalm 119, verses 113 through 20, 120. And the text tonight says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh troubleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. The first thing we need to understand is that we need to live with good company. The Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. And in 113 through 115, it says, Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. In verse 113, he says, I hate vain thoughts and people with vain thoughts because I love your word. You're my hiding place. I hope in thy word. We need to keep in good company, and the best company we can be is those that follow God's word.
Amen.
We need to live with a good conscience. In verse 116, it says, Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me what? Not be ashamed of my hope. That's a plea for God to do what he said he's going to do. We know that we can't depend on that. But he asks, Uphold me, hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. And I will have what? Respect unto thy statutes continually. My question tonight is this. Do we respect the Word of God all the time? That's the issue. How's your conscience regarding God's truth? How's your conscience regarding what we do with God's Word? Verses 118 through 120, we need to live with good convictions. It says, Thou hast trodden down all of them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You know what we need in our life? We need no falsehood. And we need to understand the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay? Because God will protect us and God will keep us, we need to love his testimonies. Not only do we need to have a good conscience, but we need to live by the testimonies of God. What God saith, thus saith the Lord. That's what it is. The Bible has to be our final authority. And then we need to have total respect for God. I think that respect for God is lacking today. It's lacking in society for sure. Because we know it's the last days. Unfortunately, it may be lacking in our churches too. Thy flesh trembleth for fear of thee, for respect. And I am afraid of thy judgments. You know, if we got a clear vision of the judgment of sin that God made, we wouldn't want to sin. We wouldn't want to do wrong. We would want to do right. So tonight as we look about the Bible is the word of life, we need to understand, first of all, that the Bible brings spiritual life. This may seem very basic to us, but you know something? If the foundations be removed, what can the righteous do? Sometimes we need to come back to the bedrock foundation doctrine of our faith and understand it's the Word of God that gives eternal life to those who believe. The Word of God gives eternal life to those who believe. In John chapter 6, verse 63, there was a discussion with the disciples. And Peter said, "Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." And Christ comes and commends Peter for saying that. But in verse 63 of John 6, he says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." We need to be like Job. "I esteem the words of your mouth more than my necessary food." We need to understand that we cannot live without the Word of God. We can't get to heaven without the Word of God, because it's the Bible, through the working of the Holy Spirit, that convicts and leads sinners, and we were all sinners, and you know we can still sin, to salvation and also to deliverance. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we know this verse. "So then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You have to have something that's foundational to believe in. You have to have something that's foundational for your doctrine. But the whole point about it is, you can have a Bible in your house, and if you never open it up, if you never read it, if you never heard the words of it, what good is it? What good is it? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You know, the Bible brings spiritual life because the Bible reveals the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love the Awana program because of what those kids memorize. One of the passages that they memorize is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. It says, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." God's gospel does not change. And we need to pass it faithfully from one generation to the next.
Amen.
"How that Christ died for our sins according to the" what? "The Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It is the Word that quickeneth. The words that He speaks, they are spirit and they are life, because only the Bible brings spiritual life because it points to Christ. He told the religious leaders one day, he says, "You all search the Scriptures, for therein you think you have eternal life, and those Scriptures speak of me." See, it's the Bible brings spiritual life because it's the Word of God. The Bible should transform the believer's life. You know, you go into a bookstore and you find all sorts of books. How to break habits. You find things on how to do computer programming and how to work your cell phone and how to do all this other stuff. But you know something? How to have positive thinking. Those books may have some good content, but not the best content. Because it's the Bible that will transform us.
Amen.
And it should transform the believer's life. The Word of God should renew and cleanse our minds. And if all we're doing about the Bible is what we get on Sunday morning, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We're like my students. They think they can hear something and they become a math expert. And they can't even add. Romans 12:2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." In Ephesians chapter 5, Christ talks about presenting the church that's spotless because of the washing of water by the word. He says that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can you prove that you're doing something good? You compare it against God's standard, the Word of God. How do you know that what you're doing is acceptable to God? You follow the testimonies and the commandments that are written in here. How do you know that you are doing the right thing, the perfect will of God? Because in here is life. He gives us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Now, I'm going to give you a quick primer on this. If you're contemplating doing something and the Word of God says don't do it, and you do it, you're out of God's will. If you think about doing something and you search the Scriptures and you find out that the Bible says don't do it and you don't do it, you're in the will of God. This thing is what this Bible gives us all the answers that we need. The Bible should shape us into the image of Christ, which is the second part of God's will. For them he did call, he predestinated us to be conformed to his image. Your job is to look like him. Now, you can get a head start looking like him down here. Because we will all look like him when we get to heaven. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. I'm reminded of James 1 that says that we're supposed not to be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. And if you're a doer of the word, you can't be like the natural man that looks at a glass, looks at the Bible, and forgets what he's looking like. We need to look in the Word of God. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, changed into the what? The same image. Here's another thing. The love of God should be showed abroad in our life. People should see our love. People should see us changed. We should be more Christ-like today than we were yesterday. And tomorrow we should be more Christ-like. Could it take from the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to what is written therein. The Bible transforms the believer's life because the Word of God renews and cleanses our mind. The Bible shapes us into the image of Christ. And then thirdly, the Word of God helps believers grow spiritually. As we went through the books of 1 and 2 Peter, we came to this passage, this verse. And the way that we should hunger and thirst for God's Word, first of all, there's a promise. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know, we watch our grandson, and when he is hungry, he lets you know about it. Okay? And what satisfies him is the bottle. You know something? We need to live the same way with God's word. We should be hungry for it. That we can't get enough. That we can't get enough. And we should be like babies. Later on it says that in Hebrews it talks about that we need meat also. Okay? But you got to start somewhere. And the best place to start is in God's Word. So the Bible brings spiritual life. The Bible transforms the believer's life. And then once again, I didn't put the third eye there. Okay. The Bible guides believers in daily living. It should be our source of wisdom and guidance. Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." However, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says a little bit more. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Okay? So that's what we possess right now. That's what we have. We're reading it right now. It says, "Whereunto ye do what? Well, that ye take heed." Okay? You want to do well to God? Take heed to the Scripture. "If you love me, keep my commandments. As unto a light that shines in a dark place." It should be as automatic to seek God's will as walking into a dark room and flipping the light switch. We wake up in the morning, we need to flip on the light switch to God. And so I'm here, talk to me. Show me, guide me, lead me, help me, give me wisdom. Until the day dawn. How long we need to do it? Every day. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's when we're home in heaven. So the Bible guides believers' daily living. It provides wisdom and guides us more than we talked about. That in our youth class. You know, if you don't know how to deal with a situation, if you don't know how to do something, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use God's word. We need to be skillful in that. We need to be skillful, but not a novice over. Because it provides wisdom and guides. Secondly, it directs us in decisions and choices. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Favorite verse of a lot of people. Favorite verse of Ricky. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." All the way to the end. The Bible guides believers in daily living. It provides wisdom and guidance. It directs us in decisions and choices. And then it equips us for every good work. We looked at 2 Timothy 3:16 a couple of times now. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to the verse that follows. Okay? "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And here's the key. "That the man of God may be complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Bible shows us what good works we need to do. The Bible shows us how to do it. The Bible shows us where we get the resources to do it. The Bible is the word of life.
Amen.
If the Bible guides our walk, we will live a life that's pleasing to God. Let's make the Bible our authority. Let's understand where it comes from. Let's hold it with as much respect as we should hold God. And let it be a light unto our path. But in order for the Bible to make sense, you have to have the Holy Spirit. And in order to have the Holy Spirit, you got to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Where are you tonight, Spirit? Are we walking with God? Are we following His word? Are we doing what He asks? Or do we need a little bit of remedial teaching in this? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to follow you. Lord, I pray if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight they realize that you died on the cross for their sins. You were buried, you rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. That all we need to do is believe what your word says, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in you should have not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, I pray that we would not fool around with salvation, but that we have it in our heart and we are convinced. Lord, I pray for us, Lord, that we would use the Bible as it's intended to be used, as a guide, a source of wisdom. Understand that it gives us the directions for spiritual life. Help us to follow your word fully. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.